Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus, who is the Christ. Amen. You warmed up yet? Anybody still cold? Yeah, well, I'm so glad you're here. It was pretty bad. In fact, some churches closed today, but I figured, you know, you know whether to come to church or not. Like some people knew not to go to the Steeler game tonight, to come to church instead because it might be a little too cold there. Hey, anybody here Harry Potter fans? Huh? Anybody read Harry Potter? All right. Because when my son Mark's coming from Singapore, and I remember when he was like in ninth grade, and at Borders, remember Borders Bookstore? They had a big opening for a new Harry Potter book. The books were going to come in at midnight. And so Mark dressed up like Harry Potter with the glasses and all this. We went there, there were people dressed like wizards and warlocks and all kind of strange things. The book was Harry Potter and the Chamber of Secrets. And Mark got that book and we went home. And he didn't go to bed that night. He read all night. He just couldn't put that book down. Anybody read that book? Harry Potter and Chamber of Secrets. Okay. Well, anyhow, you remember there's one scene in that book where Harry had just defeated the evil wizard Tom Riddle, who became he who must not be named. And who is he who must not be named? Who is that? Voldemort. And Professor Dumbledore, the headmaster of Harry's school at Hogwarts, he told Harry the difference between Harry and Tom, the evil one. He asked Harry, what makes you different from Tom Riddle? He said, it is our choices, Harry, it's our choices that we make that show who we truly are. More than our abilities, it's our choices. That's very true. You know, you can really tell the heart of a person more than what they say, it's what they do, their actions. So watch their actions. Because what is in the heart usually comes out then in actions, in your behavior, how you treat one another, how you treat yourselves. And you will know the truth of a person. In fact, Jesus talked about this. Remember a parable? He talked about the father who had two sons. And he said to the sons, I want you to work in the field. And one son said, yeah, Dad, I'll do it. He never went. The other son said, no, I'm not going to do it. But he eventually changed his mind and went. And which of the sons did his father's will? Of course, the second one, the one who acted, not the one who said he would and didn't do it. It's the one who acted. You see, what's in the heart is eventually revealed. So tonight, if we were listening carefully, we will get a sense of God's heart through the activities that he made in our gospel reading. So let's play detective tonight. Let's think about what we heard in Luke's gospel, chapter 2. How does God act? Okay? How did God choose to come into the world? Born to an unwed teenage mother. Okay. Who did God send the angels to announce this birth? Shepherds. Shepherds who are really marginalized nobodies. I mean, they sat around all night watching sheep, and did you ever watch sheep? Not too inspiring. They're kind of dumb animals. They're unruly, unintelligent. And when does God announce his coming into the world? At night. Everybody's sleeping. Nobody's awake. And where does God enter the world? In Rome? Cairo? Babylon? No. Little town in the far eastern section of the Roman Empire, a little town called Bethlehem in Judea. Now, what does these choices that God made tell you about the heart of God himself? Maybe it leads you to another question. Remember the play Jesus Christ Superstar? Remember that one song? Why'd you pick such backward time and such a strange land? What does this say? Well, obviously, God has a thing for the children of Israel. He loves them. He made a covenant with them through Abraham and Moses and David. He made covenants that he would be their God and he would love them. And out of Israel, it was God's hope that they would be a light to the Gentiles, a light to the nations, that would spread the good news, that would bring people to God and change the world. And another thing we found out, that God loves David's city, O little town of Bethlehem. He loves it because he said, out of Bethlehem of Judea, through David's line, the Messiah would come. He loves Israel's faith and worship. Now, as you read the Bible, you'll find Israel's not always been faithful, but on their good days, they worshiped the true God, and they did it right. And he loves people. God loves people, especially people who are overlooked or forgotten or marginalized or bullied or picked on, like teenage girls and shepherds and simple carpenters. He is true God, yet it seems he is very humble, very subtle, very unexpected, very down to earth, at times very mysterious. At least this seems evident through the choices God made in the gospel reading tonight. God is not obvious. Many times God is just plain mysterious. Choices show a person's heart. Choices that God made shows God's heart, because from the heart come the choices we make, and then from the choices, the actions we take. And God chose to enter this world as a baby, a little baby who needed his diapers changed, who burped, who cried, who needed fed, born of Mary in Bethlehem of Judea. He decided to become a human being because he loves us and wanted to be part of us and to show us the way through coming and becoming like us. He loves us and wants us to show us the way of eternal life, the fullness of life, joy, good news right now. He chose shepherds, nobodies, to be the first angels, to be the first messengers of the good news of his birth, to tell them the good news so that to show that no one he created was worthless. In fact, in John's gospel, what does Jesus call himself? The good shepherd, the good shepherd. He identifies with them. Now, where are you? Where are you in all this? What motivates your choices? God invites you to make the foundation of your choices Jesus, this baby. To say that Jesus is Lord, not Caesar, not Wall Street, not acupuncture stadium. What's that? What's it called now? Yeah, not. I love the Steelers. I love Franco. I was really sad, but not that. But Jesus is Lord. God wants to be born in your heart again tonight. He wants to motivate your choices right now. He wants right now to be Lord of your life. Not part of your life, not just your church life, not just your religious life, but your whole life. He wants to be the Lord of your economic life. He wants to be the Lord of your political life. He wants to be the Lord of your sex life. He wants to be the Lord of your attitudes and actions. This night is a night of joy and lightness and freedom. heaven bends low and God comes to earth and loves us as we are. No ifs, ands, or buts. But it's also a night of ultimate gifts which lead to ultimate questions. What's it like to choose to let Christ be born in you tonight? You all know people who Christ has been born in. You can see it in their eyes, in their kind words, in their love. I see people tonight where I know Christ is in your hearts. But let's go to the Bible. Let's go to see what the Bible says. Let's go to the book of Acts. What does it mean to be a people, a community that has opened their heart and let Christ be born in the manger of their hearts and souls? In the book of Acts, we see the choices the early church made, the early Christians made, the choices that they made to let Christ live in their hearts. The early Christian church was a joyful, loving community who chose to be so devoted to God, so centered in Christ, to say Christ is Lord, not Caesar, and that was very dangerous. Because Caesar would cut your head off and crucify you and put you in prison. Unless you said Caesar is Lord. But they said Jesus is Lord. That their life together was charged with the Spirit's power. Christ was born in their hearts and they had joy. Their life had new meaning. Pagans looked at them and said, my God, they turned the world upside down in their love. The early church, they followed the way of Christ and the people loved each other with a radical kind of love. A love that you knew that you were special because that person loved you and served you. They took off their masks. They took off their game faces. They took off their pretensions. And they trusted in God, that God loved them. And they trusted in one another, that they had good intentions for one another. And candidly, they shared their lives, their hopes, their fears, their joys, their sorrows, their strengths, their weaknesses. They were totally open because they trusted the other person had good intentions for them in Christ. They were inspired by Christ, and these were the choices they made. Christ inspired choices to laugh together, to cry together, to support one another, to pray together, to sing together, to serve together, to worship together, to forgive one another in authentic Christian fellowship. Together, to work for justice and care for the poor, and to put their lives on the line, even to the going to the cross, going to the Colosseum with the lions, going to prison, as Paul, most of his life was in prison. Those who had more shared with those who had less, until socioeconomic barriers were melted away. In Christ, there was no rich or poor. There was no male or female. There was not even children. The main identity was that you were in Christ and Christ was in you and they worked together. All were one in Christ, given love and dignity and respect for all, especially but those who society tended to marginalize, and especially to the enemies. They prayed for the Roman soldiers. They prayed as they were being crucified. They prayed for Caesar as they were being mauled by the lions. People, they couldn't believe it. They were praising God in their suffering. People related together in ways that bridged gender and age and racial divisions. And they celebrated culture differences. All were welcome. All were welcome to the church. They were bridge builders and peacemakers. They were pro-creation and pro-love. And they were anti-division and anti-war and pro-humanity. They couldn't kill somebody because that person is their brother or sister, made in the image and likeness of God. The early church offered unbelievers a vision of what life could be, of what life should be. Oh, boy, God wanted things in the Garden of Eden with Adam and Eve in the very beginning. So beautiful, it took their breath away. And they were catechized. And they were baptized. And they joined this new movement, this new humanity. They went the way of life that was so bold and so creative and so dynamic that people couldn't resist it and were willing to die for it, because they knew that death was not the final answer, because Jesus died and rose again. And those who were in Christ knew that death was defeated. And even though we will die, we will live again. We have eternal life because Jesus Christ lives. And we read in Acts chapter 2, verse 47, the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. Tonight we celebrate God made a loving choice, to come to us as a baby in Bethlehem at Christmas. And in the power, the angels lovingly proclaimed, do not be afraid of this way of life. For behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy. That's for all people. For to you, this night in the city of David is born a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. Christ the Lord. My brothers and sisters in Christ, ready or not, Christ is here. Christmas is coming. Your hearts are mangers where the baby can be born again in you. Just like the hymn we're about to sing. O holy child of Bethlehem, descend to us, we pray. Cast out our sin and enter in. Be born in us today. Be born in us today. Be born in you tonight. And the peace of God that passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.